Hello and welcome to episode 70 of the Worst Nest podcast. I'm Kevin Gallagher. I'm joined again by Kieran Mooney. Kieran, happy new year. How are you today?
Happy new year, Kev. I'm doing well. It's been a bit of a different weekend. It still feels like all the days are merging into one. And when you've got no football on a Saturday as well, it's just completely lost my track of time. But I'm doing well and I'm looking forward to, I say I'm looking forward to a bit of normality, but I'm looking forward to, you know, talking about the football and getting back to the football.
Yeah, we said last week when we were previewing the Celtic game that we'd do this week as a kind of half-year review. The Celtic game would have taken us to exactly half the games played in the season, but obviously with it being postponed, we're still a game short of it. But we'll do our kind of half-year review anyway. We've got some kind of half-year awards to hand out, and we threw one of them across to the listeners as well, so we'll go through that one. We'll have a little chat at the end, I guess, as well about the end of the game. It's just made me think I should have given Ali a shout for coming on later on, and I've just completely forgotten.
I think he's gone through too much. I don't think
it's been a tough time for Edinburgh City. It has been indeed. So I'm sure. Hopefully, we'll get him before the last game of the season. But we'll kick off then. Obviously, as I say, the game last Saturday against Kelty postponed. It's meant that we were still one game short of the halfway point of the season, but we've ended 2023 as sitting in seventh in the league. It sounds worse than it probably is. I think you win our game in hand, and effectively we're pretty much up to fourth. We're going to run through some half season awards. I think we've put together some nominations, and then we'll get a winner for each of the categories. Kieran, you want to kick us off with your first category?
Yeah, we'll kick off with the listeners one, because that's the main one. These are the majority. It's not just our two questionable opinions. It's 114 opinions on the vote that was meant to go out a lot earlier, but unfortunately, it just went out.
Forgot what day it was.
Yeah, but we put out the vote for the listeners' half player of the year, and because I, again, had major struggles at this time of the year to try and set up a post on Pie and Bovril for a poll. It was only a Twitter one. So it was four nominations for the listeners' player of the year. Scott Taggart. I kind of feel like with whatever Scott Taggart does, he just will always get a nomination.
He'll always be in that discussion.
Because yeah, he's so good. So he was one. And then returning face Stephen Hetherington, who's come back into the side and done very well, was the second nomination. The third nomination was new signing Curtis Roberts. And the fourth nomination was Stephen Buchanan. And I can reveal that the listeners have voted Stephen Buchanan as their half player of the season. He got 35% of the votes, just 2% ahead of Curtis Roberts. Scott Taggart in third, and poor Stevie in fourth, but the listeners have picked Stephen Buchanan.
Yeah, I guess we'll go to talking about who we would have for our kind of half player of the season as well at the same time, because it makes sense. So I think when you look at the four kind of that you put forward, they're probably the four kind of obvious candidates. I think across the first half of the season, I think when you kind of sum it up, it's there's been a lot of disappointment in the season so far. It has not been entirely plain sailing. And I think in terms of looking for a standout individual performer, I don't think it's necessarily been that easy to kind of earmark someone. I think in seasons gone by, you've had, you know, standouts in the likes of Ewan Henderson or Scott Taggart or whatever. But I think even when you look at the four there, you would say like sort of, you know, Tags. I've seen a comment that, you know, there'd be a little bit of inconsistency from Tags and maybe not at where he's usually been at the last few years by his standards. That's something I'd agree with. You know, I think there was a little run there, a little period in the season where I thought Tags was a little bit off it. You know, I thought he started the season well and he's playing well again now, but there was a little run in the middle where he was a wee bit off it. Same with Stevie Hetherington as well. I think since Andy's came in, I think Stevie's looking much better. I think he's controlling games much better. Now, whether the change of shape within the team is contributing to that, I don't know. But we weren't really seeing that from Stevie at the start of the season. I think when we seen him kind of testimonial in pre-season, we kind of, it looked like that's how things were going to pan out. But it just wasn't quite there. As I say, it seems to have changed the last few weeks with Andy coming in. I think we're seeing Stevie being more imposing on games. So it's obviously good to see. Curtis Roberts has, you know, been a big surprise kind of show of the season, and I'll say now Curtis Roberts would be my shout for the kind of the half season player of the year. I think he's I expected Curtis Roberts to do okay. I didn't expect him to do as well as he's doing. I thought he would be someone who, I didn't expect him to be someone who was starting every single week, put it that way. I thought he would be kind of sharing time with maybe one of the other central midfielders, kind of half and half. But he's been a real revelation. And then you look at Stevie Buchanan, that's obviously won the listeners' vote there. And we've maybe not seen as much of Stephen Buchanan as maybe some of the others, but certainly what we've seen pre-season, Stephen Buchanan looked good. You know, seen the likes of then in the cup scoring against Senishmune as well, and then we've seen over the last 6 weeks, he obviously kind of dropped out the side in the last couple of weeks and has been coming off the bench when Andy came in. But just before that, when Brian Rice was there, Stephen Buchanan was becoming one of the first names on the team sheet. So fair play to him for winning the Listers Award. As I say, for me, I'd go Curtis Roberts would be my half season kind of player of the half season, call it.
Yeah, I'll just touch upon Stephen Buchanan before we move on to that second award, because it's clear that he has become a bit of a fan's favourite. We spoke so much about Alloa fans wanting to see academy prospects playing, and O'Donnell's an example of that. Buchanan is really taken to that as well. Two goals and two assists in the league, and this is from somebody that didn't feature at all the first seven league games. He was on the bench, unused substitute, and like you say, he had that run of form where he played pretty much every minute of the next seven games, bar like the last couple of minutes and a few of them. So he became a real mainstay, and his pace, his directness, his enthusiasm, that's what made him so exciting to watch. Dropped off ever so slightly in terms of selection under Andy, but always getting used. And then, of course, recency bias is always going to be in these awards as well. And he came off the bench in our last game, scored an excellent goal and an even better assist to really change the game for Alloa. So it's when I put the post out, it was no surprise to see Buchanan win it, because, like I say, he's going to be a fan favourite with the Alloa supporters. Yeah. For our player of the year, for the podcast hosts, I don't know which one I'd want to win more, to be honest, probably the listeners, but for our award, I agree, it's got to be Curtis Roberts, who was, like I say, only a couple of percent behind Buchanan in the poll. And it's because of, I think, one, you've got that element of surprise of how good he is, but the team doesn't work without him, which is really important to say. I pulled up the stats of minutes played. Curtis Roberts leads the way by some distance. He's played 1,940 minutes. The closest to that is a couple of players on 1,600. So he's played 300 more minutes than anybody else in the squad. And there's only a selection. There's only Hetherington and Neil on 1,600. So he's played way more than anyone else. And it's hard to imagine an Alloa midfield functioning without all the hard work and effort and desire that Curtis Roberts puts in, because he's not got a goal to his name. He's not got an assist either, but he's just so integral to how this Alloa team works, and he's been a fantastic asset.
It's interesting. I mean, likes of the, you know, obviously realise he hasn't scored, but the fact that he doesn't even have an assist, I never realised that.
One assist in the League Cup, and that's...
So nothing at all in the league, and that's quite interesting that, you know, he's not been contributing in terms of, you know, the sort of goals department, but as you say, he's so integral to that Alloa team. Without that, I suppose that's maybe the challenge, can he take that next step over the kind of second half of the season and maybe contribute a bit more in terms of assists and maybe an odd goal here and there and maybe kind of take him onto the next level. But the fact that he hasn't been, and yet he's still such an integral part of this team, kind of says it all. You're talking there about the minutes played. I mean, when you look at the games, I think I'm right in saying he started every single league game this season, and I think he's been brought off twice, away to Hamilton and away to Annan. I think are the only times where he's not played 90 minutes this season. It kind of tells you how much of a mainstay he has been of this Alloa team. We've seen him a couple of different roles. You know, to me, he is a box-to-box central midfielder. We've seen him a little bit different. I think perhaps it might have been against Hamilton or it might have been the Annan game actually the following week, where we've seen him kind of playing a bit further forward almost as a right winger. And it just, you know, we've seen him out on the right-hand side a couple of times at the start of the season, and I just think he's wasted out there. You know, that energy, that back and forward you get from him in the centre of the park, you're wasting it a bit when you're putting him out wide. But yeah, he's been an absolute integral part of the side this year.
Yeah, and like you say, if he can add one or two goals to his game, you're looking at a clear runaway winner for player of the year at the end of the season. Although I think it's important to mention that there was a couple of people that we maybe would have had in the poll, we maybe would have discussed. I'm thinking of Bobby Wales, Ali Roy in particular, but for me, they just haven't played enough games. They've been part of this momentum change of Andy coming in, and well, maybe Roy slightly before that, but definitely they've not put a foot wrong. But just the sample size of what Curtis Roberts has done, and same with Buchanan as well, it edges in front of having Wales in that discussion just yet.
Yeah, I think as well, you could look at like Cammy O'Donnell. You know, I think before Cammy got injured, he was, you know, playing really well at the start of the season, and he came back playing well again. But he's obviously had that kind of long period out injured as well. But he was probably another one that, had he not had that injury spell, he probably would have been in with a shout of it as well.
So we've got Roberts and Buchanan scooping the first couple of imaginary awards for this episode. Next, we'll go to game of the season. I've got three nominations down. I'll say the nominations and then we can, I think we're pretty much in agreement with who the winner is, but
yeah.
Opening day, Queen of the South 3, Alloa 4. Derby day win, Stirling 0, Alloa 2. And most recent of the nominations, Cove Rangers 1, Alloa 2.
Yeah, it's, do you know what, as you're reading them out there, I don't think it's maybe as clear cut as I maybe thought it was. I think you look at the three games, the 4-3 win down at Dumfries at the start of the season, there was a lot going into that. We were coming off the back of an absolutely horrific League Cup campaign and a horrific pre-season before that as well. I think the team itself just felt a bit kind of all over the place, a bit disjointed. There was questions about where the attacking threat was going to come from. And, you know, a couple of minutes into the game, Queen of the South go ahead, and then they go ahead from an Alloa mistake at the back through Mackay playing against his former club. And you sit there and you think a couple of minutes into the season, and you're sitting there in Dumfries and you think this is going to be a long, long season this year, the way things are looking like going. And next thing you know, Mackay's up the other end, he's equalising, Brad Roden's turning into Kylian Mbappe up front, and I'm trying to remember, was it 4-2 at half time? Something like 4-3-2 or 4-2 at half time. Just absolutely bonkers. You know, there's a penalty in there for Queen of the South. And the second half had a very dubious penalty that they got to make it 4-3. And it probably made it a bit closer than it probably was, because Alloa were really good that day. I think that game itself was just so open. It was end to end. The defending from both sides, to be fair, was pretty poor, well, kind of as you expect with 7 goals in the game. But, you know, we had a bit of everything. We had a guy, I think, started the game as a bit of a kind of surprise. You know, PJ had struggled a little bit in the League Cup, and I think we'd been at Ayr the week before, perhaps, and conceded 6 against us. So a guy who was a surprise start in goals, but then he got injured later on, and PJ came back. It was just a bit of everything. A bit of everything happened in that game. So it's definitely up there for me. I think it was one of the more entertaining games of the season.
Yeah, I think for me, this game, for the madness and the chaos, takes Game of the Season award. To win 4-3 away from home at Palmerston is a great victory in itself, but like you say, just the carnage that happened in that game with the penalties, the subs, the Brad Rodden story as well. I think he had taken a fair bit of slack in the media that week as well, and he was shushing the cameras and all sorts of stuff. It was bonkers, and it kind of summed up a lot of Brian Rice's games. It was just kitchen sink a lot of the time and end to end. And real entertainment value. I think an honourable mention, that Stirling Alloa game, Alloa were really good that day, and
yeah,
it was just that for me was a much more satisfying win in terms of we were going through a bit of a sticky patch and we just went and we just swept aside Stirling for our first derby win in quite a while. So that was satisfaction, and I was in between the two, but I think as we relive that 4-3 at Palmerston and just how crazy it was, it's hard to look past that for entertainment value in a game of football.
All three of them were interesting, as you say, the entertainment, and it was so unexpected. You know, at no point would I have said we were going to go down there and score four goals on opening day of the season. I'd never ever seen that coming. But as you say, that game at Forth Bank, I maintain, you know, obviously it ended up, it was being Brian Rice's last game, and you know, what a great way to go out with, you know, with a 2-0 win over, you know, over your biggest rivals. But for me, it was, his job was on the line that day. You know, that's the degree of where we were at that time that I still maintain, had he lost that game against Sullivan, I believe he would have been sacked. As it's turned out, he won the game. He then went and joined Livingston, and it's completely different. But it was a very, very important game, that not just for Rice as well, but the team itself and the actual performance. And it was a good turnout as well from the away support, which was great to see. And the players responded to it, and they put on a good performance. Now, I'll say I thought Stirling were pretty shocking that day. You know, I thought they were really, really poor. But I still thought Alloa went and controlled that game, dominated the game. To be honest, it's 2-0. It probably should have been a little bit more. And then the third game, the Cove game, you know, it's Andy's first league win. It's a venue we hadn't won at, and certainly the last couple of times we've been up there, we'd suffered heavy defeats. It was a Cove team that were on, I mean, what had they won, 8 in a row or something, that were unbeaten about 11 or 12 games. You know, they were the form team, pretty much the form team in the country, never mind the division. And to go up there, we fall behind, and again we fall behind in a such a disappointing fashion, and that it was potentially a preventable goal. Burrell's obviously done well with it, the finish, but the nature of it was possibly preventable. But we get ourselves back into it, and for me, the way they came out in the second, the way Alloa came out in the second half, they came out and really looked to control a game, and that for me was a big moment, because that is, as I say, you're going up against a form team, you're going up against a full-time team, you're away from home, and you're there as a part-time away side, and you've went out in that second half, and really, Andy set that team out, and they've imposed themselves and controlled that second half, and in the end, they deserve to win, and you know, in a spectacular fashion, it tags getting the winner with the last kick of the ball.
Yeah, a cracking moment, which leads us on to the next one, but I think it's fair to say Queen of the South 3, Alloa 4 just pips it for game of the season.
Yeah.
But we'll go for moment of the season, because what you've just said is a front runner in that. Last minute Scott Taggart goal against Cove Rangers is up for the moment of the season. I've also merged together a few moments, but Ali Roy's goal consecutive run is in this category as well. Andy Graham being appointed manager of the football club, massive moment. We hope that it's going to bring much more success as well, but it felt like a moment that we've been waiting for a very long time, and it's been good ever since. And a little bit further back, but Kevin Colley's testimonial is also in the moment of the season. So those are our four nominations, all great, but there can only be one winner.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. I mean, we're talking about the Cove game there. A last minute winner, and literally a last second. It was the last kick of the ball. And the fact that it's a winner, you know, it's not even to draw a level, it's a winner. I mean, that's a massive.
Yeah.
It's an individual moment, and just that, you know, the scenes with, you know, the kind of the pitch invasion and everything like that, and you've got Santa Claus hugging David Devine or something like that, you know, pictures of that. It's absolutely brilliant. You know, it's hilarious to see it as an individual moment. I mean, that takes a lot to as a kind of euphoric moment, takes a lot to beat. As you kind of say, a couple of them was like Andy getting appointed, you know, that's potentially the most important moment of the of the season, you would imagine. You know, it's something I think the support have kind of waited for and wanted for a number of years. And I think, although the last couple of times the jobs came up, it's certainly been talked about. I think this was probably the first time where there was such a unanimous kind of feeling from the supporters of one, it's who they wanted, and two, it just felt like it was the right time. Now, I don't know if Andy's went for it before, but it just, if everything kind of felt right, this felt right, like the right time for Andy to take over. And as I say, as much as there's been support for Andy taking over in previous times when the jaws came up, I mean, there was nowhere near as much of the whole support was looking for it pretty much this time round. So obviously a huge moment in itself. And as you say about Ali Roy, I mean, became what was only the second player to score in his first four games or something like that. You know, unfortunately couldn't go and get the fifth one to kind of, you know, make history. But I think the biggest thing for that was it was just so unexpected. You know, yeah. We talked before about Ali Roy coming in as as another body in. Not really expecting much from it. And he just came and just kind of lit the heather on fire when he came in. And it really was a breath of fresh air, the goals from him and the way that he was linking up with Bobby Wales and Taylor Steven and Quinn Coulson and guys like that. It's really put a feel good, you know, his goals at that time helped to put a feel good onto the club. And the fact as well that he managed to get one against Stirling, also got one against Queen of the South, you know, ex-clubs of his is great as well. And the last one was, of course, kicking off the season, Kevin Colley's testimonial. I mean, an amazing moment. I think it'd be the second or third ever testimonial in Alloa's history. So it kind of speaks for itself on what a kind of momentous occasion that was. But it was such a great day, and seeing the kind of the guys that came back from the Legends team and the way kind of everyone was interacting. It was great to see that. And you know, I think the guy himself, Kevin Gall, he's an absolute legend of the football club. There's no one there more deserving, you know, of that testimonial day than Kev himself. And of course, he lit up the afternoon with a best goal of the lot. And I'll say on Kevin, I think after that testimonial in the start of the season, I think Kevin Collins struggled a little bit this season. And to me, he looked off the pace. And I kind of sat and wondered, I think, are we going to see much of Kev this year? And certainly beyond this year, are we going to see anything of Kev in an Alloa jersey? But since, as we talked about last week and the last couple of weeks, since Andy Graham's came in, he's really looked to Kevin Colley and put his kind of faith and his trust in him. And Kevin Colley's responded with that. He's getting played now in a better position for Kev. And Alloa and Andy are reaping the rewards because Kevin Colley's been great in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I would agree. And it just feels right to see Kevin Colley back in an Alloa shirt and back in the middle of the park, yeah, as opposed to in right back. What I quite like about this category is it's four totally unique sort of nominations.
Yeah, yeah.
They're great for different reasons. I'm with you. The testimonial was it was great. It was the first time I've ever been to a testimonial at Alloa. It was cracking weather. I was probably too hot, yeah, to be honest. We saw some class performances just to see the likes of Graham Holmes. Gary Fleming was unbelievable as well. Like, these guys still strutting their stuff. And we were quite lucky to be able to sit pretty much just next to the Legends dugout and the banter and the chat and what was happening in the dressing rooms and stuff. It just seems like a team that do train together every week because they've been through so many good memories together. And it was good to see all these guys back in Alloa, and Goodwin as well, and what a character and what a great guy he was to be at the manager of that team as well. And I think after the game, all the supporters, the owner, the players, the former players, the current staff, the old staff, just all mingling about that dugout area.
That was nice. That was nice at full time, kind of after the game.
It was good, wasn't it? And it was just a nice chance to chat about the great times that we've had over the 12 years or so that Kevin's been involved in the club. And he's been at the heart of many of it, but Jason Marr's had his moments, Graham Holmes has had his moments, Greg Spence, and it was a chance to kind of celebrate that all in a way as well. It was just nice to be able to mark that. It was just a cracking day, and you see the players walking up and down the touchline afterwards with a bottle of beer, chatting to folk from the supporters club. That was a nice moment and unique. For me, I'm in agreement that I came into this conversation thinking Andy Graham getting appointed is the moment. It's something that, you know, I've wanted in we've all wanted for so long. And now we're starting to see the fruition of his ideas. And it's going to be really interesting this month, although I don't know how much business we're going to be able to do. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of movements we make. That is such an integral moment. But I think you're right. The euphoric nature of a last-minute winner, having your right back in the six-yard box as a moment, as I clip that minute and put you back into it again, I think you would go for Scott Taggart's winner against Cove, wouldn't you?
I was going to say, when I kind of ran through them there, I quite kind of cleverly didn't actually say who I would go for. I think it's Tags' goal at Cove, but I'll be honest, the way you're talking there about the testimonial and that moment after the game, that was probably my favourite part of the afternoon, was after the final whistle. You know, and as you say, the supporters on the pitch, and you know, I get photos with the legends and some of the current guy. I'm going to plot for that. I'm going to plot for the testimonial. I think that was as a kind of way to celebrate a kind of legend of the club, and as a way to kind of kick off a season. Now, okay, what followed the testimonial the next few weeks were pretty tough viewing, but it was a great way to kick off a season. And I think as well, there was still that little bit of feeling from the Hamilton game in the playoffs. You know, just, I mean, it was literally a matter of weeks really before it, you know, and how the previous season had ended. It kind of felt, it was a nice moment with the supporters and the team and everything together, kind of, you know, celebrating kind of Kev's career at the Al. So I'm going to go for the testimonial for this one.
No, I'm happy to jump on that shift as well. Last minute goals come every couple of times a season, or maybe once a season, but testimonials and seeing the whole community of Alloa like that only happens once every 10, 15, 20 plus years. So I'm happy to go with Kev's testimonial for that one as well. Moving on, we've got a couple of individual awards. This one will be the shortest conversation of the lot. Goal of the season. Honourable mentions for Ali Roy up at Montrose. The two goals against Montrose, I picked the Bobby Wales one for Buchanan's work on the right. You mentioned Buchanan's goal for work on the left from Cammy O'Donnell. We've only scored 21 goals in the league, so we haven't scored as many as some of the other teams, but one that's head and shoulders above the rest is Cammy O'Donnell's free kick against Kelty Hearts.
Yeah, so good. It made the start of A View from the Terrace every week, so you get to relive it every Friday night when it's on at the start of the show for that. But yeah, I mean, it's something that kind of free kick, not a surprise at all. Kind of, we've been waiting for Cammy to do something like that. I suppose the disappointment was that it counted for nothing. You know, it was a 2-1 defeat, and that was a kind of consolation goal right at the end. I was on holiday at times. I wasn't there to see it live, unfortunately. But what a cracker of a goal.
Yeah, it was a belter. And I think he scored that pretty late on, like 80 something minute, and in the 93rd minute he got another free kick a little bit further back, but in a similar sort of position. And you're just sitting there thinking, is this going to be like a Lee Griffiths against England and two carbon copies? but not to be. But as a standalone goal, it's postage stamp stuff from Cammy, and I think it's a pretty clear winner for goal of the season. But if any of the players are listening, the gauntlet's out. Start hitting pop shots from 30 yards out. We need some bangers. A lot of nice.
I mean, what you're saying there, start hitting shots. I mean, that would be a good place to start. We just... keep harping on. We just don't shoot enough from like in around the edge of the box. There's my challenge to Curtis Roberts for the second. I want to see him banging them in. There was a kind of a la Adam King from last year.
There was a wee flurry, and I can't remember if it was the end of Brian Rice's reign. I think it was under Chipper, and Scott Taggart was just every week he would have one attempt from about 25 yards out, and it's kind of rained it back ever so slightly. But I don't mind it. The team goals are nice, like the ones that we've seen against Montrose, and that seems to be the way that we're going under Andy, with that midfield control in the games. But you can't beat an absolute worldie like Cammy's was. So that's a goal of the season so far, and I wouldn't be surprised if come May that's still the clear winner. Individual performance of the season. This is a category that I made for one man in particular. I'll mention Brad Robin against Queen of the South, Curtis Roberts against Queen of the South, but this category has been made for Phil Agai and that performance at Galabank against Annan Athletic.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the other ones you mentioned there, like Brad, you know, the first days, I think Curtis Roberts, both his performances against Queen of the South have been very good this year. I think as well, Stirling Albion, I thought he played pretty well that day as well. But yeah, that afternoon down at Annan, I mean, it was a disappointing result and performance. To be fair, we played pretty well in the first half, went in at halftime with a lead, and it felt like Brian Rice had sent them back out in the second half and said, we're a goal ahead, do everything you can to just hold on for the next 45 minutes. And that's kind of what it looked like. I'm sure it wasn't what the message was, and I think he said as much afterwards that they weren't doing what he told them to do, but we were absolutely indebted that afternoon to get a point to Phil Agai. There was a period in that second half, I mean, he's produced, it was probably two outrageous world-class saves. There was one in particular that was just absolutely ridiculous. For me, there was a free kick that was a really good save. I think it was from Willie Gibson, but actually, there was a better save. There was a header. I can't remember who the header was from, but in the second half, there was a header that kind of, the supporters were towards one side, towards the kind of main stand, and it was from the far side coming towards the kind of, you know, it was sneaking in at the post towards the main stand side. And a guy out of nowhere just kind of threw himself across. How one, he got to the ball, I've no idea. But then to manage to just send tip it round the post as well, it was an outrageous save. And there was just a period of about 10 minutes where it just felt it was constant Annan attacks, and it was, you know, shots getting belted at a guy, he would throw himself and produce an incredible save. It'd go out for a corner. Corner would come in and he'd just be flying through the air to punch it away. And it was just constant for 5-10 minutes. And I remember it was electrifying, you know, like behind the goals and the atmosphere, the supporters, and you know, you were just waiting for each save seemed to get better than the one before. It was an incredible individual performance.
Yeah, I like Big Phil, and he was one that got mentioned in the Twitter replies for Listeners Player of the Year. I thought maybe a bit too far for that aspect, but you've got to get him in some way. His story, we don't need to touch on it, but his story to find Alloa and then the start of his campaign and getting injured, and you think, oh, will we see him again, sort of thing, just because of the way that he came in. Is that going to be enough just to cut ties? But we kept him, and he's been box office, the games that he's played, and that epitomised it. That save that you're talking about from the free kick is, you'll be hard pushed to find a better save this season for sure. And yeah, I really like him, and we've got to me PJ Morrison's still the number one goalkeeper, but Phil back out warming up last Saturday against Montrose, I think if he's back fit, it's a real battle, and that's something that I didn't quite anticipate at the start of the season. But both are good goalkeepers, and Phil's just got that box office shot stopper camera save in his back pocket. He's still got the, you know, the mistakes in him as well, like all goalkeepers do, but some of his saves and that performance in particular, nobody will be able to take that one away from him.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on there, it is a battle, I would say. You know, you would have thought, certainly when he signed at the start of the season, to me, that was our PJ signing, that was our number one keeper for the season, sorted, delighted with that, you know, don't need to worry about anything. And then it just didn't kind of work out. You know, League Cup campaign was disappointing, other than the Stenhouse Muir game, which ironically was the game Phil Agai had came in for. And then obviously Phil gets the jersey for the first league game of the season. And then there's been injuries to both the keepers that we've seen them kind of swapping back and forth. But neither of them have secured, and you know, Phil's been out now for quite a while. I think, was it before? I think the Stirling game was the first game he missed, I think, because PJ came back for that. And credit PJ, I think when PJ came back for that Stirling game, I don't think PJ was properly fit. You know, yeah. To me, the first two or three games back, he did not look like he was properly fit again. But he's came back and he's not secured that jersey for me. And yeah, we're talking about that performance down at Annan, and I kind of mentioned to yourself about the Montrose game the week before last, and the first goal in the Montrose game, that for me, I think I said it to you, I said Phil Agai comes for that and launches himself and punches that away. And it doesn't get to the whoever the Montrose player was. It doesn't get to him. You know, it's little things like that where PJ is probably not commanding that kind of, particularly doesn't command his 6 yard box well enough for me. And that's maybe where the doubt is still there about, you know, is PJ really, you know, the number one? I think he is, but I don't think he's necessarily secured it. So I think there is still a battle there.
100%. We'll go on to the final award category, and that's surprise of the season. And I'll leave one of the nominations out of it for just now, but the surprise nominations would be the managerial change, Brian Rice going to Livingston and the shock around that. And the next two kind of go hand in hand. It's Curtis Roberts, the influence that he's had. We've spoken about it, played pretty much every minute. And that in turn leads to Mikko Virtanen and the disappointment of the lack of influence he's had. And I pulled up the stats just next to us. So we spoke about Curtis Roberts playing over 1,900 minutes of football this season. Mikko, on the other hand, has played just over 400 in the league. He's only played 90 minutes twice on opening day, where he got an assist, his only league assist of the season, and against Annan Athletic, which was a 1-1 draw. So we've really not seen much of Mikko Virtanen recently either. He's played 45 minutes since the end of September. And then he's had a couple of 7 minutes, 1 minute, 3 minutes, and he's been on the bench. So I think that is a kind of twofold. The influence of Roberts, that 1,900 odd minutes, and Mikko only playing 400 or so.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they kind of go hand in hand with each other. And that's kind of, when I mentioned earlier about Roberts, I expected him to be sharing time. It really was with Mikko. I expected, for me, away from home, I thought our central midfield pair would be Stevie Harrington and Mikko Virtanen. That's fully what I expected away from home, to sit with two, to go with two kind of sitting central midfielders, and expected it to be them. I did think Mikko would be more likely to be the one that would drop out, you know, if we were going a bit more attack minded in the middle of the park, particularly at home. Let's say we'd be looking at Roberts and Skugel as two more attacking midfielder with Stevie sitting. Mikko would be the one I would expect and would likely drop out. So I did think he would split time, but I thought he would have much more of an influence on this team than he has. It's been a real disappointment. And, you know, I've seen him kind of filling it right back and stuff a bit at times. It just hasn't clicked for him. It just hasn't clicked for him yet. Now, we'll have a little chat before we talk about the Edinburgh game about the fact where, you know, we're in a transfer window. Is Mikko a player that might make an exit, whether permanently or on a loan deal for the second half of the season? I think it's a possibility. I think it is. And I certainly did not expect to be saying that, you know, when he signed. I thought the signing was a very, very good signing. The experience I'd really had of Mikko was from his time at Arbroath when he was on loan there from Aberdeen in the Championship. And I thought, it's a cracking player. And I thought it was a really, really good sign, and it was a sign I was quite excited about. Did I expect him to probably do better than Curtis Roberts? Yeah, I probably did. And as much as I thought they would split time, I thought Mikko would be the more likely to be getting more game time than Curtis Roberts. As I say, it's kind of hand in hand, because Curtis Roberts has, you know, he's barely missed a minute. You know, he's missed, what, 30, 40 minutes this season, you know, of the entire season. Yeah. I think if I remember right, I think Curtis Roberts played in every League Cup game as well. So it kind of shows you just how important he has actually been. And it is. It's a surprise. I said before, I thought Curtis Roberts would do, you know, I thought it was a good sign. I thought he'd do okay. Just did not expect him to have the influence on this Alloa team that he's had. He's been a cracking signing, you know, a really, really good signing. And I think, like I said last year, the week before, to me, you look at what midfields in this division would he not get in? I think I said at the time, possibly Falkirk. You know, you got Brad Spencer, Liam Henderson in there. Would he start in that midfield in front of them? Possibly not, probably not. Other than that, I think he gets a game for pretty much every single other midfield in this division. And that's, you know, yeah, your part-time teams and your full-time teams. I think he's been that good.
Yeah, I don't see why not. And I've got not much more to add on Curtis Roberts other than how impressed I've been. I've been disappointed in how much, you know, we've not seen Mikko Vertanen. I think there's mitigating circumstances within that as well, and it just seems to be a really unfortunate couple of years, I suppose, for Mikko after bursting on the scene as a young prospect, and injuries the last couple of years have hampered him, and his Alloa career, I've pulled it up, and there's maybe reasons why momentum and things have not clicked. We spoke about Roberts getting that run in the League Cup. So did Mikko, although played right back against St Johnston. He then was on the bench against Steny. He came in at midfield against Ayr United, which we obviously lost pretty heavily to. He then played on the left-hand side of midfield against Queen of the South. And then he had an injury, which put him out for four games. And then he's never really been able to make a mark in the team because Curtis Roberts has been playing so well and because Stephen Hetherington has been so good, and Stephen Hetherington won't be dropped in an Alloa shirt and shouldn't because he is so influential. It's probably just that start of the season, getting that injury so early on, knocking any sort of momentum has been a bit of his Achilles heel. But I suppose in the games that you do want him to impress, when he got that opportunity away at Annan for his first 90 minutes, you do want him to do a little bit more, but it's the caveat of, you know, how much football has he played, how much football has he got in the legs to be able to give his full potential. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens to him in January, because under Andy Graham, he's played 9 minutes of football against Hamilton and Dunbar. Yeah, so it's not a lot of football.
I think it shows you the kind of slim margins, because you look back to that Sirling game, Quinn Coulson coming in. We're talking there about Mikko getting the game time at Annan, and he got the night. You know, Quinn Coulson came out from back in from completely out in the cold against Stirling and played so well that he's now, you know, he's back playing for Alloa again. You know, if Quinn Coulson, the first half of the season was probably a half season to pretty much forget for him personally, until the last few, last couple of games, last game of Brian Rice's reign, and then since Andy's came in, he's been much more involved again. And it shows you the fine margins. There was an opportunity there that came about through, was it injury or suspension? However the reason came about that Quinn got thrown back into it, but he's taken that opportunity, and he's now back playing pretty much every week again.
Yeah, exactly. There's always going to be mitigating circumstances in football, but you can also make your own luck, and I think Quinn's the prime example of that. Mikko's talented. I want it to work out. He would give you a good option if he was able to stay fit and be part of the squad, but for now it's just not clicking. But the nomination that we haven't spoke about for me is the one that would probably edge it for surprise, and that's the managerial change. I didn't expect Brian Rice to finish this season as Alloa manager, if I'm going to be honest. Whether that was going to be for good or bad, I just didn't see it finishing off. I don't know why, or if it did finish off, I couldn't see him being here next season. It felt like he'd come in, he'd done the job that he was meant to do. We missed out so unluckily last season, I would say, with circumstances out with his control.
Painfully.
That's the word I'm looking for. But this season, it just didn't feel like there was more of a disconnect, I felt, between the supporters and Brian Rice than there had been in his whole tenure. And it didn't feel like, it felt like if he did get the victory against Stirling Albion, which he did, then we were always one result away from going back to the sort of feeling that we'd had previously. So for me, it wasn't a surprise to see him leave, but I think in that circumstances, a couple of days after our best performance of the season, and for him to go to Livingston, it all happened so quickly. I thought, there must have been talks for weeks, but it turns out it was all done in pretty much a blink of an eye. And I think that has to be the way that it happened, and what he's gone on to do has been a bit of a surprise. And who knows, if you said to me at the start of the season, would Brian Rice be a manager of a Premiership team, I'd say no. Will he be a manager of a Premiership team soon? Quite possibly. I think it's I think for me that takes the top.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you as well. The fact that he's no longer the Alloa manager is not a massive surprise. And maybe the speed that it came about in terms of ignoring the route of his exit, the speed that it came about that he was no longer in charge of Alloa maybe is a bit of a surprise. For me, my first concerns when I was kind of, I'm ready for a change, was after the first Falkirk game. And it seems a strange one to have that feeling, because it's one of the scenarios where your season's not defined by what the results are against this Falkirk team. Like, if we go in the four games this season against Falkirk and we take 0 points, honestly, is that a massive surprise? It's a disappointment. But this is a very good Falkirk side. This is a Falkirk side that, to me, are head and shoulders above every other single team in this division, really, this season. So if you end up taking 0 points out of a possible 12 against them, honestly, not a massive surprise. Disappointing, but not a massive surprise. So to be, you know, that's the game I remember back to when I was first. And it wasn't that I was actively get rid of him, Ben. I was never of that, actually. I was just, my view was, I'm ready for a change now. You know, I was ready at that moment for a change. And to be honest, there was nothing really that kind of happened between there and that Stirling game that there was never really a moment where I was, oh, I'm kind of back in on him. I think you look at that Stirling game, that was a big momentum change. And to me, it did save his job at the time. I think it was a critical one to win. But you're probably right in what you say, that if he'd stayed after that, you know, we were Queen of South the next week. We got a win with Paddy under temporary charge there. And then the following week, Andy's first game went to Edinburgh City. And I mean, we got hammered off Edinburgh City. Now, if I think had Brian Rice stayed and we'd had those same results, I think we'd be crying out for his head after the Edinburgh City game. You know, Andy gets away. It's his first game in charge. It's a completely different situation. But I think you're right in what you said there, that despite that Stirling game, you were only ever really going to still be, you know, one bad result away from the, you know, the pitchforks being out, and that Edinburgh result would have been the pitchforks back out for him. So it's the timing, bit of a surprise. The fact that he's not there, not a surprise. But the move that he made is an absolute shocker. Like, I was just never seen that move coming. As you say, he might end up being a Premiership manager again this season. And you never know, he might be managing in the same division as Alwyn next year. You never know.
Yeah, football is a very funny game indeed. But I'm happy to go with that one. So to give a quick run through of our half-season awards, it'll be interesting to see how many of these remain the same come the end of the season, or if we'll have a pretty eventful second half. But listeners' player of the year goes to Stephen Buchanan. Podcast player of the year goes to Curtis Roberts. Game of the season is the 4-3 victory against Queen of the South. Goal of the season is the free kick against Kelty from Cammy O'Donnell. Moment of the season is Kevin Colley's testimonial. Individual performance, Phil Agai against Annan. And shock or surprise of the season is Brian Rice's departure to Livingston. I think that is a pretty fair reflection on what has been an eventful first half of the season. I think you're right in saying that, you know, we end the first half in seventh position. It doesn't paint the full picture. I'd say the last month or two, it paints a much more positive picture of where this Alloa team can be. And I'm hopeful that there'll be plenty more moments and performances and goals to add to this conversation come May.
Certainly the goal of the season category. I hope there's more candidates for that. To be fair, we've been quite fortunate the last couple of years. There's been a few screamers in there. I'm thinking Adam King, I'm thinking Murray Miller. We've been quite fortunate with Kiever as well. We've been fortunate with some good goals. But yeah, hopefully there's more to come the second half. I guess, is it worth us having a mention the transfer window's open before we talk about the Edinburgh City game this weekend? We'll have maybe a quick chat around the transfer window. It's open now until the end of January. I'm guessing maybe might not go into specifics about certain players or anything like that, but Kieran, are you expecting much business in January? And if you are, where do you expect that business to be?
I'm not expecting a massive amount of business, to be honest with you. I think we're probably going to see more go out the way than come in the way. if we can get 2-3 players in, I think that will be a good window. I can imagine there'll be a couple going out. You know, we've heard a couple on the grapevine that might be already on that way. But I think it's important that we do bolster that squad options, because it's January's always been a pivotal month for Alloa. I'm thinking the seasons that we have had success, I listened to, pretty criminally, but I only listened to Jim Goodwin's Open Goal interview this morning, and he was speaking about Kirkpatrick, Ross Stewart. You know, those are both January moves. If we can do anything like that, that would be massive. I suppose first point of call is keeping Bobby Wales, securing his services for the second half of the season.
Yeah.
But I think we do need to bolster the squad. And for me, I'm probably looking at a left back. I'm not total priority, because I think Cammy O'Donnell is going to do a job fine there. But if we can get a left back, it for me allows Cammy to be pushed a little bit further forward, and to me that's a much more natural and influential position for him. Gives us a wee bit of defensive stability. I'm thinking if there was a Michael Doyle equivalent loanee for the left hand side, that would just be absolutely perfect, and it would allow some movement, and Cammy does not leave the team, but just ever so slightly a new sort of role. And I'm thinking some sort of an option either in the wide area or in behind the striker. I think we've got plenty of options up front. I would imagine they'll be looking for a striker. Everybody always is, but to me it's more of a priority what's round about it. You've got Quinn Coulson in there, Stephen Buchanan, but can we get another option in there, or either in behind, something like what Taylor Stephen does if he isn't able to stay for the season? So for me, it's a left back and a versatile attacker, but somebody probably more inclined to play on the wing, because that seems to be a system that Andy wants to implement. And I think it would be good to have those options, because you've got 4 or 5 central strikers, you've got plenty that can play in the pocket, but you've probably only got a couple of players that can play as out and out wingers or wide men. So for me, I would like to see someone coming in that aspect as well.
The left back one's an interesting shout. Right away, I'm thinking a Callum Waters. When you mentioned there about Doyle, if you get someone like a Callum Waters in on loan, and I think what you say about what that then does with Cammy, it's not necessarily you're looking to take him out of the team, it's the fact you could then, I think what we're looking for is a Stephen Buchanan on the left-hand side. You know, that raw kind of pace that you can get. Now, Cammy's not necessarily got that raw pace, but I still think he suits that kind of wide left position better than some of the others do. So I kind of see where you're coming from on that. For me, I mean, there's part of me thinks if nothing else happened in the window other than we got Bobby Wales until the end of the season, I'd probably say it's a successful window. That's how vital, how important Bobby Wales has become at this Alloa team. I really, really hope we manage to keep hold of Bobby Wales to the end of the season. I've seen, you know, in the last kind of 24 hours, you've seen the likes of Owen Beck getting recalled to Liverpool from Dundee, and the devastation that's caused. You know, Dundee's game is against St Johnstone is off today, a waterlogged pitch, and rumours that's the tears that for the Dundee fans for Beck leaving. He was that important to them. It's kind of how I view Bobby Wales. You know, he's that vital to this side. I look at the loan signings, I think, you know, I'm not sure if Ali Roy and Taylor Steve, they're till the end of the season. Normally, most of them, they're to January, or they're to the end of the season, but there's an option of a kind of cancel at January. So going by that, Ali Roy, I think we'll be here until the end of the season. Taylor Steven, I don't know. If Taylor Steven was recalled to St Johnstone, I wouldn't be overly disappointed is what I'll say. I think we could get by with that happening. I think Taylor Steven, when he came in, did pretty well. I think he's just went off the boil a little bit. And I look now at him and Quinn Coulson, and I think, you know, we've got Quinn Coulson there, our own player. If Taylor Steven isn't there, can Quinn Coulson do what Taylor Steven does? I say yes, he probably can. We're talking there potentially a left back. Could you then get Cammy up as that kind of front man on the left? There's another option. You're talking there about the position in behind, and the name that I keep thinking about is Luke Donnelly. You know, there's a player we've not seen all season who is going to be like a new signing coming back. Believe that he's been back in training, that they have he's kind of been wrapped up in cotton wool with this to make sure that he try and gets back fully recovered, and we've got him for the second half of the season. If that's the case, I really hope that is the case, and it will be like a new signer. For me, I think anyone coming in, you're talking there 2 to 3 players, I'd be surprised if it's more than two that come in. I would be really surprised. For me, there has to be players going out for that to happen. I think we've talked about the squad is 27, 28 players?
Yeah, 28, including Andy and the two young boys out on loan, I think.
So you're talking there's an active squad of, what, about 25, 26. That is massive for a part-time League One team. It's too big. It's too big, really. And I kind of think about where might we see departures. For me, at the back, I feel there could be a departure there in terms of either a Mackay or a Debayo. I feel like one of those potentially going out. I think, you know, whether that's going out on loan or it's a permanent move out, I don't know. I think you've got a potential option there of freeing up a wage. You know, we mentioned before about Mikko Virtanen. I think that's a possibility. And my kind of thinking in there is that central midfield, you know, you've got Stevie Scougal, you've got Curtis Roberts, you've got Kevin Colley, yeah. can play in there if you include the kind of attacking midfield as well. And then I look at, you've got the likes of John Robertson. You know, we've seen him on the bench against Cove. I believe he injured himself, whether it was there or midweek following it that he missed him in Tro's game. But, you know, you've got an option there of someone who can come in. And, you know, when I think about John Robertson coming at that team, I'm not expecting Robo to come in and start games. But if we have a little bit of an emergency that we need a holding midfielder to come on, John Robertson can do that. If we have a wee emergency that a right back gets injured and we need someone to come on, John Robertson can do that. He can jump in at left back as well. So those kind of roles that Mikko Virtanen playing are the things that John Robertson can do. And I kind of think, do you go with that trust in that experience? Now, we've not seen Robbo all season through injury, but we know what John Robertson is and what he can do and what he can't do. And do you have that as your kind of backup in that role of what Mikko is probably doing just now? Can John Robertson do that, and maybe Mikko moves on? So I think there's a couple of areas where you could have a bit of movement. Taylor Stephen potentially back to St Johnstone. There could be three out. If we got three out, one, maybe two in. For me, I would have a goalkeeper. If there was a goalkeeper was available, if I'm Andy Graham, I would take serious interest in them. If there was a quality keeper, and I'm thinking you look at a Jamie McDonald, you know, someone of that ilk, you know, if we've seen him coming before, I think it was emergency loan he came on, to be fair, as opposed to a kind of just a, you know, January transfer window loan. But I think if there's a player of that ilk became available on loan for the second half of the season, if I'm Andy Graham, I'm seriously interested in that, because I love Phil Ogai. I absolutely love him. Talked earlier about his box office. He's great to watch, but he's not secured that position. PJ, I thought, was going to be our standout number one this season, and he hasn't. I've still got doubts about PJ. Now, I do caveat that. Certainly, since he came back from injury, I will caveat it with, I don't think he's been fully fit, and fair play to him for coming. I think he came back and he was still injured. To credit to him for coming back, and when we were, you know, we were without a keeper, it would have been Kerr Bart as a youngster that were playing in, like, say, the Stirling game. So fair play to PJ for coming back when I don't think he was fully fit. But he's not, something's just not been right there. Something's just not looked right there. And there's been too many mistakes that, you know, we've talked earlier, that number one jersey has not been secured by either of them. If there was likes of a Jamie McDonald type, if I'm Andy, I'm seriously looking at that. That would be my, other than trying to keep Bobby Wills for the second half of the season, probably the number two for me would be a goalkeeper.
Sure, interesting. It's not one position that came to my thought process, or a goalkeeper, but it's one of those ones that who knows what can happen in a January transfer window. I think what you're saying in terms of the first part of players going, it's not because they're not good players. They are all good players on their day, but I think a lot of these guys need to go out and play football.
They need to play games. That's exactly it. Yeah, exactly. Put on.
I'm thinking of Mikko in particular. We're not at like SOS stage yet, but he needs to go out and be controlling games and playing games. And I think he would be he'd go into any League Two team and be the best player in their team, technically, I would imagine. I'm also looking at Brad Rodden. I like Brad, selfishly, yeah. But I keep Brad for every time, for every couple of weeks that I want to throw in a bit of pace, directness. Yes. Is that fair on the player to play the amount of games and the amount of minutes that he gets at the moment? You're looking at your front two, or your front one, really, Wales being stuck on, and you've got Salmon, and then you've got Roy, and then you've got Rodden. Is that really fair on the player to play fourth fiddle up front? Donnelly comes back into the team as well. Not that I don't like Brad, but he's one that I think would benefit from going League Two and getting games as well. So these are players that we might see a little bit of movement for, but it all depends on the transfer windows. It's just you're relying on so many different parts of a chain to get something in place. I've been following the Kilmarnock interest in Bruce Anderson quite intently, because I think that to me is whether or not we see Bobby Wales in the second half of the season. I think he's going to, from what I can read, Bruce Anderson will be a Kilmarnock player, but it's whether he'll be a Killy player now or at the end of the season. Livingston have signed a striker, which maybe allows it to happen now. If it does, I think Bobby Wales stays here for the second half of the season. If it doesn't, then you're maybe having a conversation of you might need to add a striker to your transfer list, because he might go back for cover. But that's the fun part of the transfer window. I never thought I would be interested in seeing Livingston sign a striker, but this window I've found myself checking in on that a little bit more. There's a really good page on Twitter. I think it's called Transfer Scott. Transfer Scott, Transfer Scotland. But the @ is Transfer Scott, and it's, I don't know who he is or who she is, but always on the ball. They've got some rumours up there of Stirling Albion at the moment, so it does go down to League One as well, and I feel like anything that's going to break will go through that page. So it's well worth a follow if you've not done so already.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how the window goes. Obviously, I think, and I suppose we're pretty much talking for about an hour there, but we'll lead in quickly to the Edinburgh game as well on the back of this, because Edinburgh City are playing a large part in this transfer window, but not necessarily for the reasons that they would like. You know, we've seen their players are getting snapped up, you know, becoming free agents and getting snapped up throughout, I mean, pretty much primarily throughout League One, but we've seen them go in other places as well, a few players into League Two, I think a couple of moves into the Championship as well. Ennis Murray, there you go. I think he went to, is it Arbroath? I think he's So they're playing quite an interesting part in this transfer window. And I guess it leads us on to, we'll talk just briefly about Saturday's game. You know, we're going up against Edinburgh City, and I think everyone knows the difficulties that Edinburgh City are facing just now. I think there's, to my mind, there's still a real question of whether Edinburgh City complete this season. You know, it's in that kind of position. But we've seen it's a team primarily of under-20s. They do have a few loan players in there as well, who incidentally are doing pretty well for them. But it's a difficult time, obviously, for Edinburgh City.
Yeah, it's a shame. I've just written their piece of the programme, so I'm pretty clued up on their new team, and it has a lot of unrecognisable names. I think you've got some senior pros like Liam Fontaine and Scott Mercer that I assume are continuing to play for free. I'm thinking of Fontaine in particular, not as good as what he has been in last season, but his influence and his experience in that back line will prove really invaluable, I think. If they didn't have him, I would seriously worry, but they do have him, and they've still conceded 21 goals in the last 5 games, some pretty heavy defeats in there as well. Other notable names in the Edinburgh team, they've got Amir Khan's nephew playing left back, just a young lad, but there you go if you're into your boxing. But it's the loanees that are the ones that will offer attack and threat. Robbie Mann scored a brace against us in the 3-0 win. He's gone on to score 4 goals in the next 4 games, so he's on a goal scoring streak of 5, and he's been now assisted by returning reality TV star Ozzy C, who's scored 2 in the last 2 as well. So there's a couple of people coming through the cracks to offer support, to try and pull them out of a situation. And they are only 2 points behind Annan, but five games, 21 goals conceded. It's looking pretty grim. It doesn't matter that, you know, C's come in and got a couple of goals, or Robin Mann seems to be in the individual form of his life, because they just leak so many goals. And from an Alloa perspective, we don't need to go into detail of who should play or starting 11s, because the episode has gone on, but 3 points, absolute minimum. We cannot. I know we've not beaten them yet this season. That was another candidate for surprise of the season. Our record against them, the fact that we have lost and drawn, but this is a completely different Alloa team in terms of momentum and mentality and style of play. But physically, it's a completely different Edinburgh team, and it's a team that would struggle to compete in many Scottish leagues. None more so than League One. They're just unfortunately not of the quality, and it's not through any fault of the players on the pitch, but it's going to be a long, long second half of the season for them, like you say, even if they do make it till May.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you don't like seeing another, you know, you think about if the shoe was on the other foot, it's a horrible position for, like, say, the support to be in. And we know the issues around the start of last season. We had Ali on, and they talked about the name change and how badly that went down. There was no consultation, and it got changed back, and the owner kind of sold up what had been set up as supposedly the club was debt free. I think there's serious questions now. You have a look at the previous owner, his comment on, I think it was possible on LinkedIn, about how he tried to push through a merger with Spartans. You know, there was a lot of talk about that over the last couple of years, mainly from the Spartans side. Look, the kind of feeling was Spartans were trying to buy their way into the league setup through acquiring effectively Edinburgh City. When you look at this comment from the previous owner, it seems that it was actually this particular move was looking at the other way. It was Edinburgh or him was trying to push for this takeover of Spartans. I think they were going to be like FC Edinburgh Spartans or something like that. I mean, absolutely the worst name ever thought about for a football team in Scotland. Potentially up there with FC Edinburgh, if I'm being honest. But they talked about how Neil Doncaster had effectively blocked that going through. And, you know, this was the previous owner talking about how this would have been such a good thing. You look at all the coverage of this post that he's made, and the overriding comment on it is, Neil Doncaster might not have done a lot right for Scottish football, but this one he got absolutely bang on, because it would have been an absolutely ludicrous situation. But it sums up where, you know, the kind of where Edinburgh have been. And I remember I actually thought about it on Saturday. I seen when they were playing Hamilton, I think there was something like 33-1 or something like that against Hamilton. I said to a couple of my pals at the time, I said, Alloa might start this week as at the shortest ever price that Alloa have ever been in a game of football. And you look on Bet365, the game's not even on Bet365, but on McBookie, Edinburgh 20-1, the draw's 8-1, and Alloa 14-1 on to win on Saturday. I would be surprised if Alloa have ever been 14-1 on to win a domestic game of football before in their history. It shows you where it's, and that's with our record against them being so, so disappointing. It's probably been the biggest disappointment of this season, certainly from the league perspective, is, you know, you look at Edinburgh City. Edinburgh City. You know, played 18, won 2, lost 1-2, drawn 3, lost 13. They got 9 points, and 4 of those 9 points have came from Alloa. That's a real disappointment. You think, you know, the position we could have been in. Let's say the results had been a win for us and a draw. You know, let's say we've taken the 4 points from this, so it's an extra. You know, it's an extra 3 points. It would mean right now we're pretty much sitting in there. And that fourth spot with that game in hand as well, you know, we'd be sitting level with Montrose. And you hope that you come to the end of the season and it's not, you know, that's not what we're looking back on and thinking, you know, those first two games against Edinburgh have cost us a playoff spot. You know, you hope it doesn't come back to it. It's going to be, I'm going to say it, it's a horrible thing to say. And as I say, I don't wish this to happen to them. And I would pretty much hate for anyone, any club's team to go to the wall. But it's, you know, if Edinburgh did go to the wall, the team that benefits the most out of it is Alloa Athletic. It would make a significant difference to ourselves, but it's not something you hope happens. But I do wonder, is this going to be the last time we play against Edinburgh City? Possibly.
Yeah, it's a game that I think, just to kind of talk about the importance of Saturday, it's not a 3 points that's going to advantage us over anybody else. It's purely a 3 points as a minimum, because it's only going to even out what every other team in this division is doing against Edinburgh City. And we're saying that, you know, we've only picked up a point. That puts us at a disadvantage that we can't go and pick up points against the team that's bottom of the league. So at a minimum, we need to go and beat them to even out what everyone else has done. You know, we're getting good victories against Queen of the South, which is kind of keeping us above them. But if we could couple that with just taking care of what's so-called on paper should be the easier games, then you're looking at a successful season. But you know what? I'm not expecting a walkover as such on Saturday. I think we're going to see a bit of a spirited Edinburgh side for at least another couple of weeks. They played against Hamilton and Cove and been absolutely scudded, but I'm thinking in the first game they actually led against Stirling Albion before losing 3-1. So it's not like we're going to be playing against a Sunday league team. I think it's important to remember they've still got, you know, quality in there, but this Alloa team, with the shift of momentum, with the goal duct being broken by Wales and players playing a lot better, another week with the game called off to maybe get Scoogle back, to maybe get Donnelly closer to be able to feature. I don't expect them to, but I think this Alloa team will only be getting stronger from that 3-0, whereas Edinburgh have gone the complete opposite way. So if we are going to score 5 this season and beat that 4-3, then we could hopefully do it on Saturday. But to me, I'm not expecting it to be all Alloa. I'm expecting it for them to put up a fight, but if we don't come out with a convincing victory, I think I will be surprised.
Yeah, I've disagreed a bit over our predictions the last few weeks. I expect Alloa to put on a bit of a show. I'm expecting that. I think what you say about Edinburgh is probably true. I think they will be, the fight will be there for them. If I'm an Edinburgh City player, I'm kind of thinking away to Alloa, our next game is away to, I think it's away to Falkirk to Falkirk the following week. And we've kind of chatted a bit off air over the last couple of weeks and kind of said, I think there's a chance that there's a double figures. That's what the situation is. I think there's a chance there's a double figures against Edinburgh this season. I'll be honest, I thought it was going to happen on Saturday. I think when Hamilton go 5, I think they're 5-0 at half time, you think there could be double figures here, and that's a significant thing. If I'm an Edinburgh City player, I kind of look at that game the following week at home to Falkirk and think that's a mountain, you know, that's an Everest to try and climb, and maybe that galvanizes them to think, going to Alloa, look, this might be a chance for us to get a result here. Whether it's a draw would be a good result right now for Edinburgh City, let's be honest. Maybe they look at this and think, we've got a good record against Alloa, already got a draw at the Rex this season, we've beat them at home, we can go out there and get 3 points from this, and maybe that does galvanize them. I still think it is what it is in terms of what that team is. It's a couple of low knees propping up a team of under 20s. That's essentially what that is. I think Alloa will go out. I'm expecting Alloa to go out in a 4-5-1. I think they will go out and there's a feel good about Alloa just now. Maybe a big part of it is Bobby Wales going to be playing. That's a question. We don't know, is Bobby Wales still here? Has he been recalled temporarily, as we've seen with, I think it's what happened with, like, say, Ewan Henderson. He was recalled. We missed him for a couple of weeks, and then he came back to Alloa. So for all we know, Bobby Wales might not be available on Saturday. I still fancy the other players that we have. If we don't have Bobby Wales, that Alloa will go out and win this, you know, as I say, 4-1, something like that. And as much as you don't like seeing the kind of the agony getting piled on another team, you obviously want your team to go out and put on a performance and score lots of goals. So I hope Alloa would do it.
Yeah, I was actually thinking 3 or 4-1. So I'll go 3-1 if you're going 4-1. 3 points.
I'll go 4 then, yeah.
Yeah, it's a minimum. I can see them getting a goal because, like I say, OZC, Robbie Mann, they've got the ability to do it individually for a moment, but it's the collective over the course of 90 minutes. And Alloa are such a cohesive unit at the moment. That midfield is just on point. I don't think they'll be able to compete. And it would be nice if we just get, you know, Andy's first home victory, that's all the kind of things ticked off, and we can kickstart 2024 in the right foot, and hopefully it's a successful one.